of the e-meeting proceedings is prohibited unless prior approval has been granted. Councillors are requested to keep their microphones on mute until I invite you to speak. Councillors are requested to use the cards provided for interaction with this meeting and keep them visible until I've acknowledged them. And councillors and city officers are reminded to disclose any declarations of financial interests and interests affecting impartiality. We move to item one, which is the declaration of opening. I declare this meeting open at 7:15 p.m. Moving on to an impromptu item two, which is an act from the presiding member. This council agenda briefing is being conducted electronically and attended remotely by elected members and officers in accordance with Regulation 14E of the Local Government Administration Regulations 1996. Moving on to attendances, we would have no apologies and we have no approved leaves of absence. Declarations of interest, item three. Does anyone have any interest that they wish to declare? And that looks like a no. Moving on to item four, which is presentations and deputations. We don't have any presentations and we don't have any deputations tonight. Moving on to item five, which is the draft April reports. I now hand you over to the Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Jeff Glass, to take you through the balance of the draft April reports.
Thank you very much, Mayor and councillors. So this evening's agenda, obviously a very light agenda, and was given everything else was confined to things that were absolutely required in terms of timing. So that means that we have two tenders and the two regular financial reports. So the first item, 10.1.1, is tender one of 2020. With the supply installation repairs to window and floor coverings. It is specifically as it relates to the Collier Park Village, and there's a report there with a recommendation to appoint Goldace Holdings, trading as Hutton Street Carpet Court, for that work.
Councillors, does anyone have any questions for the administration on this item? Councillor Russell. We'll just unmute you first, hold on. And for some reason, that's taking its time, but bear with us. There we go. The floor's yours.
There just seems to be a minor administration error, as the assessment just doesn't seem to be complete, as the relevant director has neither concurred or not concurred with the assessment panel's decision.
Now, Director Luma, and before... Is there anything in here that would require us to go into the confidential attachment? I suppose I should ask beforehand, not that there's any members of the public here, but do we need to go into confidential session to answer this question?
No, I don't think so.
The floor is yours then.
Okay, yes, simply, Yuqara, I neglect to circle that I do concur with the report, and that can be fixed up before the council meeting.
Good pick up, Councillor Russell. Does anyone else have any questions in respect to this item? Councillor Choi.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. In relation to the contract period, could I just receive some information or clarification on the contract period up to 3 years, the option of 2 years? Is that the normal contract period that the city would normally give to these type of contracts? And if so, why?
Director Lummer. And we'll just wait for you to come off mute. There we go.
Perhaps that might be better directed to Mr. Cameron or Mr. Taylor, who deal with these types of matters more than me. So they'll know more than me why that we have those.
Mr. Mayor, I'll have a shot at it, and then if...
Please do.
Three of us can have a go if I haven't fulfilled what I need to. Through you, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Choi, usually with contracts of this size and the time taken to undertake a tender process, it's often good to have reasonably long tender contract periods. It does allow the the business, in this case it's the Collie Park Village, to have some surety and getting their units refurbished. So the aim is 3 years at fixed, and then it'll depend entirely on how well the contract has gone as to whether the further 2 years are provided. So the extension is purely at the city's discretion. So yes, this is reasonably normal for a term contract of this kind and the sorts of things that Infrastructure Services does as well.
And probably I'll just add is one of the advice that we would give we sort of assist in corporate services to provide advice to those going out to tender. And one of the considerations, so it's a really a horses for courses approach. So the question we'd ask is, you know, is there a lot of change in technology, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and go through a range of things as to what would be the appropriate time frame of a contract. So there's a balance between trying to get a best price at a particular time in a market, and then also having certainty that you've got somebody you're going to build a relationship with and sort of test their performance over a period of time. So it depends on the type of contract as to how long you would want that contract for, and therefore as well the volume of work that goes into it as to how often, or you know, you might give a 3 plus 1 plus 1, or you might do a 2 plus 2, and so you can vary the contract. The important bit is whatever you advertise is that's what you offer. But the analysis of that length is done with the offices and the businesses, and it's basically around the need of that type of service provision and what would be appropriate.
Thank you, Director Cameron. Councillor Russell, did I see a yellow card there?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Oh, just to express, I was a little bit sort of like disappointed and surprised that there was only one tenderer for this contract. It's just kind of typical.
Director Lomer, is that you? No? We should we throw that to Director Keller.
Yeah, I'm not entirely familiar with this contract, but obviously been through the reports with the executive. It's not unusual. However, it is preferable, obviously, to test the market with several contractors coming in. One of the advantages here is that the contractor that has tendered and has been recommended for acceptance is the incumbent, and that always is generally a good thing, because at least the business knows what they're going to get. Obviously, you'd like to test price better if there was more than one tender. However, I think the people who are undertaking this have a fair idea of what the prices are and what is expected. So I think the city officers have a fairly good understanding of what's required, and I think this is from my perspective, worthy of recommendation.
Councillors, any further questions for the administration on this item? That's a no. Moving on, CEO Glass.
So the second item is tender 2 of 2020. So that's the provision of cleaning services once again. This one has a healthy interest, and there's a recommendation that Bell Rock Cleaning Services be appointed for once again a 3 by 2.
Councillors, any questions for the administration on this item? Councillor Choi.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Again, just touching on the terms here, I know cleaning is quite different to supplying of laying of carpet. Just wondering what the inspection or the review, is it going to be like a review during that initial two-year period to ensure that they're doing a good job? And do the facilities, I think you said it includes public tours, parkland, barbecues, do those facility holders actually get to offer some feedback as well during the initial term? Thank you.
Mr. Mayor, I'll answer that if that's okay.
For
you, Councillor Choi, the answers are yes. The contract is regularly audited. That's a key part of the specification. It is one of our probably more heavily audited contracts because everyone has an opinion of cleaning. It's usually controversial, the cleaning contract, because there's always someone who feels a public toilet hasn't been cleaned properly or so on and so forth. So therefore, over the years, the specification has been developed to the point where it's regularly audited. The people who are the users of the facilities, usually within Direct Alumnus team, the Community Culture Recreation team who operate facilities have a key role in checking on the performance of the contract and feeding back to the building maintenance team who oversee the contract. So it's heavily scrutinised. One of the key things for having a three-year contract in this is that it takes some time for a cleaning contractor to understand what's required. They may bid on a tender, but it does take a while to understand how the facilities work. Yes, in this case, we are recommending the incumbent because we believe they do a reasonable job. However, the three-year term enable some surety as well. Obviously, there's some rise and fall in tenders, but we believe this is the best way to go. If you're going out every year or every 2 years, it's quite a large contract to be out tendering regularly. So some sort of surety and would enable budgeting and also the staff to manage the contract appropriately. The two-year extension would be on the same terms as the Collier Park Village, where it would be at the city's discretion as to whether that was extended. If the contract wasn't performing well, then the contract would end after 3 years.
Thank you, Councillor Choi and Director Taylor. Councillor Choi, a follow-up question?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. And does the projected expenditure for the cleaning operations include the current COVID-19 situation, where I would gather or assume there'd be more cleaning being provided or needed at this time and maybe for the next few weeks, months ahead?
Mr. Mayor, I'll answer that again through you. Councillor Choi, that's correct. The projected expenditure is purely that. It's a projection. This is a schedule of rates tender. So the cleaning requirements are at the city's discretion as well. Obviously, a specification was put out highlighting a number of facilities that needed to be cleaned and the rate and the standard that they need to be cleaned at. In terms of varying the contract, that's at the city's discretion. That's already happened under the existing contract, whereas the contract has been wound back and only cleaning at the requirement of the city, which is much less than normal because facilities are closed. So yes, purely the price is purely a projection based on what is expected in a normal period.
Councillors, any further questions on this item? That's a no. Can we move on to the next item, please, CEO Glass?
Right. Next item is 10.4.1, so that is the listing of payments for the month of March.
Councillors, any questions? No questions. If we can move on, please, CEO Glass.
Right. So it's the last item, is 10.4.2. It's once again, it's the monthly financial statement, also for the month of March.
Councillors, any questions? Councillor Russell and then Councillor Brenda Abrandis.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. It just...
Hold on, Councillor Russell, we've managed to mute you. We'll just fix it up in a moment. And the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. It just relates to the capital revenue and expenditure revised budget versus actual for roadworks. I noticed that there's three large negative variances for Bruce Street, Patterson Street, and Thelma Street intersections. I'm just asking for clarification why they are in such large negative variances.
Officers, who should I be throwing to at this point?
I'll take that again, thanks, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Russell, I'll need to take that on notice and provide a response prior to the council meeting.
Councillor Brenda Abrandis.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I can see following mid-year review adjustments, our budget's aligned a lot better and we're actually tracking quite well year to date, 9 months in. But just a quick question with regard to the COVID costs. So with regard to the additional costs that we're incurring and either additional costs that we're saving or revenue we're not receiving, are we keeping a track on what sort of impact COVID costs or lack of expenditure or revenue is having an impact on the city?
Is that Director Cameron?
Yeah, that's correct. I think, can you hear me?
We can.
Good, sorry. For some reason I hadn't muted myself, so apologies. And I've unmuted myself, I know it sounds weird. Look, we've done a bit of analysis and we continue obviously to monitor. We're pretty confident on where the revenue, although council made a decision on the golf course, so we'll have to readjust that. But the numbers actually in the financials are looking pretty good, but it doesn't quite tell the story of what's going to come in the last few months. So we expect that revenue will probably be around 1.8 million down, but with the changes tonight, potentially it's only about 1.5 million under. The expenditure is a little bit more challenging because there has been a few additional costs on cleaning, but nothing too dramatic because some of it's offset by less cleaning. So it's a little bit more tricky to sort of work that through. So we're thinking that there's possibly the savings that are showing up at this point in time at year to date probably will follow through for that financial year. So we expect the net closing to be around about probably better than what it is at half year. And like I think I've explained previously, in terms of the statement of financial activity, probably it'll land that halfway bit that I always like to. So I'm looking at page 14 for those that don't know what I'm looking at, of the attachments. You know, net operating, you know, the revised budget was, you know, around that 2.7. The original budget was 3.7. We think it'll probably land in probably somewhere in between that, between operating income and net and expenditure, because of the reduction, particularly like in the parking side of things, where basically parking's sort of fallen off a cliff, as has the infringements and that. And there's a few other areas where some of the revenue's dropped off. But at the bottom, probably closing will probably end up better because we think we won't spend as much on capital on that. So it's sort of a bit of a tale of two cities. The top part of that statement probably a little bit worse than the revised budget, but the bottom half probably better. So that's sort of where we think it'll land, but there's a lot of variables in that. So it's a bit challenging to sort of, you know, really pinpoint. What's probably hidden is some of the cash. So on the cash side of things, we think, because people are likely potentially to not pay their debts as and when they fall due. So it'll probably show up there that our cash balances will be lower than we expect. So it's not, as I think I've said at the briefing session and that, it's not like, you know, a city of Perth or something like that with, you know, a lot of money in parking revenue that's just completely stopped. So we haven't been impacted that way. We think next financial year is going to be challenging for us on a number of fronts, but we'll work through the budget on that. But in terms of these financials, it's not showing up yet, and it'll show up more in the, because the revenue's been booked, but actually it's going to show up more in the cash side of things. Our cash collection will reduce, we expect. So I think hopefully that's answered the question.
Councillor Brenda Abrams.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. With regard to leave liability, obviously it might present an opportunity now to actually have staff taking leave in downtime. Has leave management actually been looked at, and is leave liability being reduced in light of the current circumstances?
So certainly if I can answer that question, there's a mixed bag with that. You would ordinarily expect that, particularly as some people have been required to take leave or requested to take leave. But in addition to that, there are people that would have ordinarily taken leave that aren't, because the work that we've had to do to get to this point has been quite extraordinary in the last 5 weeks. So I think, as I mentioned at the briefing session, ordinarily you would expect that the employee entitlements would reduce, and we've certainly focused on that in the last year, and we certainly have those people that have more than 8 weeks have been requested to reduce that. So we've been getting some good benefits, I suppose. But then having said that, with this, people are holding on to it just in case they get stood down and required to use that. At this stage, I think we've only stood down one staff member. So they are using their leave. But if more are stood down, then the first thing that they would use would be their annual leave, and then their long service leave. But as to where they'll end on 30th of June, it is pretty difficult for me to predict.
Councillor D'Souza, did you have a question there?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Has the city considered freezing employee wages?
I might just jump in at that point. We can certainly discuss that in terms of the budget deliberations, but the questions that we're able to ask are confined to things on this item, 10.4.2, the monthly financial statements. That's sort of going a bit above and beyond, but we can certainly talk about that during the budget workshops. Councillor Russell. And we're just trying to unmute you again, so bear with us.
How's that?
That's better.
Okay, yeah, it just relates to my previous question, because I note that with the operating revenue and expenditure budget versus actual, there is a separate table which explains the variances. But when it comes to the capital revenue and expenditure budget versus actual, there is no table. There's a discrepancy there, and I'm just asking why that is.
Director Cameron.
This set suite of financial reports is something that I haven't really touched since I got here. And the reason being was that we were going into a new financial system, a new enterprise-wide system. And so what we've done is we've focused on just keeping the reports as they are. You quite rightly point there is to the fact that there's no commentary on significant variances. Under the Act, you're only actually required to do it in relation to the Statement of Financial Activity on page 41. That's traditionally where you would provide some variance analysis. However, I think it is prudent that, and the Mayor and I have spoken about this, he's indicated that he'd like to, well, the Council to be involved or to have some input into the new suite of financial reports that we would work through with the new system. And we probably would have already started on that had COVID-19 not hit. But I take your point in terms of commentary on variances relating to the Capital Works program, and that would be part of a broader conversation of how can we improve this suite for councillors and for the general public to be informed in a better way. But essentially, other than adding the Statement of Financial Activity that was not presented to councillors in the past, I've just kept those because it would have been wasted effort in the old system.
Any other questions, councillors? No? With that then, that brings us to the item, what is 15 on my run sheet, but which I think is 6, matters for which the meeting may be closed, of which there are nil. Item, what I assume is going to be item 7 now, is leave of absence applications. Just a reminder to all councillors that if you haven't yet submitted your leave of absence applications for any planned leave, please submit them prior to next week's council meeting, although I hope you're not planning on making an overseas trip, because that's probably not going to happen. And item 7, closure. Thank you everyone for your time and your attendance. I declare this meeting closed at 7:38 p.m. Thank you all. See you soon.